This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, we're now at show number 432. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also provided by Alibaba and their groundbreaking conference for small business owners, Gateway 17, on June 21st to 22nd in Detroit. Well, these days, there seems to be a lot of us living in some kind of altered reality, all the way from Donald Trump to the small business owner that creates their own alternate reality around them. But my first guest says that how realizing that we're not really seeing reality can make us more creative and innovative at work. Bo Lotto is a world-renowned neuroscientist who specializes in the biology and psychology of perception. He's been conducting and presenting research on human perception behavior for more than 25 years and has published over 60 publications and 2 academic books. Bo, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
All right, so why don't we really see reality? I thought everyone kind of has their own reality.
Yeah, we do, actually. We do have our own reality. The question is whether that reality is accurate with regard to the physical world. And the point here is that it's not, which isn't to say that the physical world doesn't exist. Of course, it exists. There are things out in space. But the fact is we don't actually see them as they are because it's impossible to.
Well, I guess my question is, you know, what really is reality? Because, you know, there's this old Zen saying that there really is no truth, Bo, outside ourselves. So is there any ultimate reality, or is it just how each individual person perceives it? And then when people get together as a collection of people that say this is reality, it becomes the reality.
Yeah. There is a physical world. There is a physical reality. But we don't, as I said before, we don't actually see it. The question is whether or not we see it accurately or usefully. So this is not postmodern relativism. Some things are better than others. Some perceptions are better than others. It's just that we don't know what they are a priori, and what's more, what is good in one context might actually be bad or different in another context. Right? And the reason why this has to be true is because we have no physical access to the world. Right? The only information we get from the world, the only data we get, is the energy that world creates, that light that falls onto our retina or the vibrations that go into our ears. But that data is itself meaningless because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't actually tell us what to do. So your listeners can experience this by putting their fingers in front of the face, just one finger, and line it up with an object that's far away. Quite a large object. And what happens is you can actually get your finger to be effectively the same size as that large object far away. Now, the fact is they are not the same size. But as far as your retina is concerned, they have the same projection, which means the data by itself isn't enough to generate behavior. And so the other kind of data we have access to is our history, the history of what the data meant for behavior in the past. So what evolution, development and learning give you is not accuracy, they give you utility. Our perceptions were useful in the past, they just weren't accurate.
So, Bo, you say that if we realize we're not really seeing reality, it really can help us become more creative and innovative. How does that work?
Well, because it's interesting, when I suggest to people that they're not seeing objective truth, people seem to become a bit nervous by that, right? Because if we're not seeing objective truth, what are we seeing? Well, it actually creates the possibility of actually becoming part of the process of making perceptions itself. So it's incredibly freeing, in fact. And the only way you can actually begin that process of taking ownership of your own perception and actually becoming proactive in the generation of your perception is by acknowledging that this is where perception begins. It begins with the history of what something meant for you in the past. And once you've accepted that possibility, that suggests that everything you're doing right now is, in fact, a reflex grounded in the biases and assumptions that your history has given you. And not just your own personal history, the history of your culture, the history of your family, your evolutionary history. And once, but that's a very difficult first step because, again, people walk around thinking that they must have an objective view of the world. But even if they did, that world doesn't actually tell you what to do. A rock for a human is very different from a rock for an ant.
Right. So, Bo, is this where people like, you know, John Kennedy or John Glenn or Martin Luther King or, you know, famous artists, are they somehow able to deviate from this and do something groundbreaking?
Yes, because what they're actually doing that's groundbreaking and what they're actually doing that's deviating is they're not deviating from themselves. They're actually deviating from what are the normal biases and assumptions. So when we see someone being creative, what's really happening is that we have this view that creativity is bringing two things that are very disparate and putting them together. But your brain doesn't actually make big jumps. I can't get from one side of the room to the other without passing through the space in between. So your brain makes a step to the next most likely possible, given the space of possibility for that person. And that space is defined by that person's assumptions and biases. So when you see someone being creative, you think, wow, how did they put those two things that are far apart together? It's because in your space of possibility, they are far apart.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, they're making an obvious next step to the next most likely possible. What's different is that their space of possibility is different because they have different biases and assumptions.
So is this why you say that the next great innovation isn't going to be technical, but actually it's going to be a new way of seeing?
Yes. And that's that new way of seeing that will enable us to, of course, create new innovations in technology. And so what is that new way of seeing? That new way of seeing is this idea of understanding that everything you're doing right now is a reflex grounded in your assumptions. And the challenge of that is that in order to see differently, you actually have to be able to question those assumptions. So first of all, you have to accept that they're there. You then have to identify them. And the problem is, we almost always don't know why we do what we do at a very deep level. And sometimes the best people to reveal your own assumptions to yourself is someone else, is not you. But then the most difficult final step is to question them. But everything, almost everything about evolution has geared us to avoid stepping into uncertainty. Because to not know is to die during evolution.
Right.
It's a very bad idea. And yet it's only in that place that we can actually see differently. Which means we have to have a new way of being, new way of seeing, that enables us to step into uncertainty, to question our assumptions, to not know, to doubt.
And, Bo, is that where you start to become more creative and innovative? You start questioning your assumptions, you start questioning the way you're seeing things. Is that really happening?
Yes. You're questioning what you assume to be true already. The challenge in that is now you're creating uncertainty. So really, what we really want to do is, if we want to become, say, more innovative, and remember, innovation has two sides. It has creativity and efficiency. And much of our society, especially businesses, are geared around efficiency, getting more for less. And the best environment in nature for that maximizing efficiency is competition. But it's a very bad idea if you want people to see differently, to be creative, to question those assumptions, which means you need a different kind of ecology. Right? Really, when people talk about stepping outside the box, my thought is we never actually step outside our box. All we do is step from one box to another.
Right,
right. You just step from one set of assumptions to another. What's really remarkable is the possibility of expanding your space of possibility, increasing your biases and assumptions. In other words, to complexify. And we know mathematically that the best solutions exist within a more complex search space. And how do you do that? Not only by questioning your own, but then adopting those of others. Travel is one example.
And what you're talking about doing, Bo, is actually really hard because I think we all try to make whatever we see fit a pattern we already understand.
That's right. So not only because we hate uncertainty so much, I mean, seasickness is a consequence of uncertainty. You go down below in a boat, and your inner ears and your eyes are giving you conflicting information, so you are ill because your brain can't deal with that uncertainty. So, you know, we really, really hate it. And so I lost the thread on that one.
No, I think what we're saying that it's a really big challenge. So I think this is a fascinating subject, especially for small business owners that are really trying to make the leap and become more creative. You first have to start with really questioning what you're seeing and questioning your reality.
That's right. So you have to, but there's a certain aspect of your reality that you don't want to question, because if you're going to step into uncertainty, you need a level of certainty from which to step.
Right.
Exactly. As well. So you don't want to just throw everything out there. This is a cycle, right? You begin with creativity, and then you follow with efficiency. And often companies end there. And then what happens is they try to engineer their environment to make it increasingly stable so that their efficient strategy remains relevant.
Well, Bo, I think this is a really important point that every small business owner has to look at. If you want to reach Bo, go to www.labofmisfits.com. Or on Twitter, it's Bo, B-E-A-U, Lotto, L-O-T-T-O. Bo, thanks again.
Thank you.
Coming up, there is no doubt that this is a dangerous world. We'll talk about your personal security coming up next. AM 560, The Answer.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Dan G, taking a look at traffic brought to you by Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. A quiet morning on the inbound Edens, Lake Cook to Montrose, a smooth 19 minutes. No issues either on the inbound Kennedy, O'Hare to downtown, 20 minutes. From Montrose, it's just 10. The inbound Ike looking good as well. Thorndale to the post office, 29 minutes. From Mannheim, it's 16. Inbound Stevenson, I-355 to Lakeshore, just 34 minutes. From the Tri-State, it's 24. The inbound Dan Ryan looking good as well. 95th to downtown, just 15 minutes. I-57 inbound from I-80 to the Dan Ryan, 15 minutes. And the inbound Bishop Ford, I-80-94 to the Dan Ryan, 15 minutes as well. Thunderstorms possible today with a high of 71 and a low of 57. For tomorrow, Memorial Day, looking perfect. Mostly sunny, a high of 75. It's partly cloudy and 60 now. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Moult and get a free copy of the book.
What are you doing the 4th of July? Get to the Bolingbrook Golf Club Tuesday, July 4th, starting at 2 p.m. There's fun for the entire family and free admission. Check out live music and great food. Plenty of kids' activities and inflatables. Choose from over a dozen local restaurants and food trucks. Then the highlight of the 4th of July, a 30-minute fireworks show presented by the Village of Bolingbrook. Don't miss the 4th of July blowout at the Bolingbrook Golf Club. More info at bolingbrookgolfclub.com. Sponsored by COTG, Pepsi, Southern Glacier, and Miller Lite.
Tune in to Healthline every week with your host, Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD. This month's special is Quantum Greens Powder, a once-living, naturally potent, vegetarian and gluten-free blend of the finest, most pristine greens from the best sources worldwide. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447.
Join Dr. Bob Marshall for Healthline, Saturday morning at 10 on AM 560, The Answer.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moults. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, there is no doubt that it's becoming an increasingly more dangerous world. I've been part of a karate school for 15 years, and our self-defense classes are up 50%. I think we all need to think about our personal security. Here to help put together a plan is Charles Goslin. He's the author of Understanding Personal Security and Risk. He's a retired CIA operations officer who served throughout the world in a wide range of capacities that bridge covert technical and human intelligence operations. Charles has published numerous white papers on security threats and business risk issues and lectures regularly on terrorist radicalization and the threat of jihadist groups to Europe and the U.S. Charles, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning, Barry.
So people watch TV, people read the newspaper, they know it's a dangerous place, but it seems like they have their own lack of awareness for personal security. Why is that?
Well, because personal security has really been sort of an ignored area of the security discipline. And my view is that there are lots and lots of checklists and tips and advice out there, but people don't really have a set of easy principles to hang these concepts on so that they can remember them when they're out on the street. That's the most important part. So the concept of effectiveness is a big aspect of the book.
So I know that, Charles, you have five principles. What's the first one?
The first principle is probably one of the most important, and it's the principle of preparation. The idea that if you're going on a trip, if you're going somewhere, take just a little bit of time to prepare for potential contingencies that you could run into. The book gives you lots of very specific things that you should prepare for, but ultimately you want to just have that principle and then use it to sort of guide what you're going to do next before you go out the door.
So let me ask you a question around that, because, you know, I've been a prepper way back since 2000. Of course, since Donald Trump got elected, I have a bug out bag, right? My wife laughs at me. Is that a stupid kind of thing to have? Because it's only going to last for 3 days.
No, it's not stupid at all. For those of us that have lived in hostile environments and third world countries, having a bug out bag is crucial because it gives you an edge once you're out the door and you're on the street over the person who doesn't have it.
And so Charles, what are some of the other principles that you lay out in the book?
Well, the second one and one that sadly would have been useful for the folks recently in Times Square is the principle of detection. It's the idea that when you're out and you're moving from point A to point B, you're in the present. Your mind is in the present. You're aware. You know where you're going. You're purposeful. And you limit the kinds of distractions around you, such as at your phone,
right, exactly.
Chatting with friends, things like that. You stay purposeful and you stay in the present.
And that's nearly impossible because I don't know anybody. You know, I walk around the streets of New York or Chicago or L.A. Almost everybody's doing something else while they're walking.
I used to live in New York, and I understand exactly what you mean. However, it is a principle that works whether you're in New York, whether you're in London, or whether you're in Sana'a, Yemen. And it works very well. It gives you, again, it gives you that edge, that ability to leverage time in order to make the decisions you need to make to get out of harm's way when something bad happens. Typically, that's quick. And so you need to be able to be alert and be aware.
We're talking with Charles Goslin. He's the author of Understanding Personal Security and Risk. He's a retired CIA operations officer. So what are some of the other principles that we need to be aware of?
Well, the third principle is one of deterrence. And essentially, deterrence is being able to make yourself less of a target. Don't make yourself so obvious. Be boring. That way that the people, the threat actors that are out there, are going to focus on someone else because there's always going to be someone else who doesn't pay attention. So that's the principle of deterrence. There's also the principle of delay and finally of defense. These last two principles are principles when threat actor would engage with you and deterrence is putting distance between you and that threat actor. The very last principle is the principle of defense. In the world of personal security, you don't have an option sometimes. You must defend yourself. And the goal of defending yourself in the context of this book is defending yourself with just enough force to be able to remove yourself and run and get away from the threat that's going after you.
So I'm going to ask you a question, Charles, because one of the things that I've learned in my karate self-defense classes, and you tell me if this is your experience, is that if a weapon is presented like a gun and a knife and it's not used in the first 10 seconds of the encounter, it has less of a chance of being used later on. Do you find that's true or it's not?
No, I do find that that's true, because typically if you have someone who's using a gun or a knife or some other weapon and they want to talk, it means that they really are ambivalent about using it. Ultimately, they may talk themselves into using that. But if you use that period of time to offer them something, then you have a better chance of surviving the encounter. If somebody really wants to use a gun or a knife, they're going to use it, and they're going to use it quick.
And in our principles of self-defense, we have the five fingers of self-defense, and one of them is to yell. Is your voice an effective self-defense technique?
Oh, absolutely. And I point that out as well, because yelling, number one, it alerts folks around you so that you have witnesses. Number two, yelling gives you the strength to fight back. You put air in your lungs. It gives you spirit. It gives you fighting spirit. It gets you out of that sort of being frozen in time, and that always happens in these kinds of encounters. Yelling helps you fight.
One of the things that I've always questioned is, you know, I've been doing karate for 15 years, and I'm now testing my secondary black belt. I don't know if put in that position, would I be able to make the smart decisions, or adrenaline would just take over. How do I prepare myself for that to make sure I make the best decisions if I'm in that situation? Because it may only be in that situation once in a lifetime.
That's right. It's a split-second decision. It's just like folks who, with concealed carry, a lot of folks like to do that, but they really don't. There's a huge difference between having a weapon or being capable, as you pointed out to me, and actually using it. The way that I like to look at that is very simple. What you do is you run scenarios, and whether you do this in a training class, and I very much encourage doing exactly what you're doing. Those are formal training classes and that sort of thing. You run scenarios, because ultimately when that encounter does happen, you're going to fall back on your training, and that's what happens. You don't have time to think. You need to be able to be trained and react.
It's interesting, because one time I had just, this is about 5 years ago, I just tested for my black belt test, and a guy had learned about it on Facebook, and he comes up around me and he puts me in a bear hug kind of as a joke. So about 5 seconds later, that guy was on the ground, right? Just because I reacted. And I was very embarrassed, because I was, you know, I was in a, I was not in a threatening situation, but I had just been training very hard and I just reacted. You don't even think, your training just takes over.
Absolutely. Your training takes over. And it's what will keep you alive and, again, give you the ability to remove yourself from the situation and get out of the threat environment.
The last question I had for you is, what is your view on, I guess, average citizens using weapons or having weapons? How should they handle that?
My view on that is this. All my career was spent in areas where we couldn't have weapons. The best weapon that I had when I was abroad was my wits, my training, and experience. And so the book is actually written for those folks who are traveling abroad, whether it's in Europe or whether it's in third world countries, and even here in the United States. And the assumption behind it is you don't have a weapon. What you do have is a set of principles, a set of skills, and a lot of experience that I've put into it that will help you survive. My view on weapons is this. If you are going to have weapons, you want proper training, for instance, with handguns and that sort of thing. One thing I do think is important is that you understand how weapons work, a familiarization course. In the off chance that you actually get a hold of one, if you're in a situation, You want to know how it works, because if you don't know how it works, it does you no good.
Absolutely. The title of the book is called Understanding Personal Security and Risk. Charles Goslin, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Coming up, how retailers, restaurants, and food truck operators can use credit card payments on the go in the palm of their hand. This is AM 560 The Answer. You're right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. President Trump's back at the White House after what he calls a successful foreign tour.
The White House says it plans to use the momentum from this trip to push some of the big ticket items along, including the budget, tax reform, and health care. But there are also concerns that the looming controversies surrounding the investigations into Russia and connections to the Trump team could derail those efforts.
Fox's Garrett Tenney. And farewells continue to pour in on social media for Greg Allman, who died yesterday at 69. Bob Seger tweeting, Greg was one of my favorite rock singers of all time, and so sad we've lost another music titan. Melissa Etheridge posting, he showed me his tattoos, his voice, and his soul. Fox News, we report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Dan G, taking a look at traffic brought to you by Cabela's. Bike the Ride has traffic exiting on the Stevenson onto northbound Lakeshore Drive. It's forced off at 18th for access to the museum campus. Southbound Lakeshore Drive, you're forced off at 31st. If you need to get through the area, should exit at Cermak or King Drive. Not seeing any issues on the inbound Edens, Lake Cook to Montrose, just 19 minutes. Inbound Kennedy looking good as well. O'Hare to downtown, 20 minutes from Montrose, it's 10. Thunderstorms possible today with a high of 71 and a low of 57. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and 75. It's partly cloudy and 60 now. Cabela's Memorial Day sale is going on now. Family events, amazing deals, your one stop before you get out of town. Get Cabela's Adult and Youth Deluxe Flotation Vest for $9.99. Stop in and save this week at Cabela's in Hammond and Hoffman Estates. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
If you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or interested in a side hustle, you got to listen to this. There's a first-of-its-kind conference coming to Detroit called Gateway 17. It's sponsored by Alibaba, a Chinese combination of Amazon, Google, and eBay. Gateway 17 is there to help you sell your products directly to 500 million Chinese consumers or to source from millions of products on Alibaba to sell here in the U.S. It's a two-day event in Detroit, June 20th to 21st, and speakers are going to include the founder of Alibaba, billionaire Jack Ma. And I have an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Save 75% off the registration fee. That's only $125 to attend, but you can only get this deal if you go to the page Gateway17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. That's GATEWAY17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. Remember, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get access to these Chinese consumers. I will see you there.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
I have actually been on Balance of Nature for a year now. I have MS, and I recently had an MRI. This is the first year that I've had a stable MRI, so I'm thrilled. When I have an MRI with MS, usually there are glowing spots that come through, which is damage on the nerves in my brain and my spinal cord. And when they're glowing, it means they're active. And then my last MRI, they pulled it up, and I honestly couldn't believe that it was my MRI. There was nothing glowing. And in fact, the dark spots were shrinking. They were healing. And the doctor actually said to me, I think we're in remission. I was so happy. I had no idea that that could be my reality.
The new challenge will allow you to receive 2 months of Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies free. And we'll even ship them to you free. Call now for details. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go online to balanceofnature.com. Use promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, a huge problem in the fast food and food truck industry is taking credit card payments easily and on the go. But there's a new solution out there, which I saw firsthand when I visited in March, food truck operators using it for the first time for their St. Patrick Day Festival in Savannah, Georgia. Here to talk more about it is Paul Rossori. He's the VP of Global Product Marketing at First Data. As a 25-year veteran of electronic payments industry, Paul's held positions in product development, product management, corporate strategy, marketing, and business development. Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much, Barry.
Well, I participated in the food trucks, learning how to use this new device. Tell us about it. Actually, first talk about why is this such a problem for small business owners, especially now that all these cards have these chips?
Well, yeah, certainly there's been a lot of change in the way, you know, merchants need to accept credit cards from consumers. So, you know, the migration to new EMV chip cards obviously has caused a lot of disruption. And solutions like the Clover Flex, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, really just simplifies that for the merchant.
Well, just talk 1 minute before we get to the Clover Flex of why we had to have these chips. Because if you ask the average person, well, why'd they put a chip in my car? They're going to say, well, they want to slow me down.
Yeah. In reality, the chip cards have been around for probably about 10 years around the world. And the United States was actually one of the last countries to actually adopt the chip technology. So what was happening is these chips provide a much higher level of security for your account numbers. And a lot of the fraud was actually migrating to the United States. So it was really just a matter of time before the U.S. had to adopt chip technology because, you know, all of the fraud from Europe and from Asia and from Latin America was all making its way up to the United States.
Well, now, you know, accepting payment for food vendors really has changed. It used to be that everyone had a restaurant. People would come in, you'd have the cash register there. People would come with the cash register and they pay their bill. But that's not how people buy anymore. So products and solutions had to change, right?
Oh, that's absolutely true. And you're seeing that kind of across the retail spectrum. And, you know, food trucks are just a perfect example of how, you know, merchants are taking their products and solutions on the go. And they're engaging with their customers in a lot of different ways than never existed in the past.
So tell us about the Clover Flex that was just released this month.
Sure. It's a member of a product family that's been around for about 3 years, Clover product family. There's four other solutions that are all kind of specialized for different types of retail environments that you mentioned, whether it's a face-to-face or counter-pay type of an environment. The Clover Flex was really intended to be a much more versatile solution that is equally at home, whether it's sitting on a counter or, you know, in a line, you know, taking the solution out to the customer, so it's a mobile device. And it really just provides a lot of flexibility depending on how the merchant wants to engage with the customer on any given day.
And what I really liked about it was it's easy to get started. I saw these food truck owners, they were putting their products and the prices right in the device right then. So it was simple to get started. They have to spend all this time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's really kind of the hallmark of the Clover product family is if you think of the older style payment devices, they're very fixed function and don't have a lot of additional features. Well, the Clover is actually based on something that's very familiar to us as consumers, and it's, you know, it's an Android-based operating system, so you have apps, and it's very logical in how you can use this device, and, you know, the core of it is a secure and reliable payment solution, but it really goes much, much beyond that. Because we have this application-centric architecture, we can also add additional features that the merchant may want, you know, that not only helps them make accept payments, but also track their sales and manage and track inventory. And if they have more than one employee, they can manage employees and integrate with payroll systems and integrate with QuickBooks and even create promotions and rewards for their best customers. So it's really the sky's the limit in terms of how they can use this as a tool.
And, Paul, this is a really important point because it's one thing to have the ability to collect credit card payments. It's another thing to really get the data and analyze what actually happened, because so many small business owners don't have the data or they can't really easily understand what that data means.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. And that's another, you know, core aspect of the Clover solution and Clover Flex is, you know, all of this information. You hear a lot about the cloud, but, you know, this is a situation where the cloud actually does provide a real benefit. So the small merchant not only uses the product to interface with their customers, but when they go home at night, they have they can access all of their information from a computer and look at the trends and understand, you know, how the food truck day in 2016 went for them, and they can forecast what they're going to do in 2017 just based on that information.
And so, Paul, what does this actually cost to get started?
Well, obviously that varies depending on how the merchant actually procures it. You know, we have partnerships with, you know, most of the major banks around the country, and, you know, typically they'll talk directly to their banker, and then a lot of it has to do with, you know, the volume of business they'll be doing and so forth. But it's, you know, it's very competitively priced.
So as they say, if you're interested in Clover Flex, go to your bank and ask for it by name.
That's for sure.
So thanks so much for being on the show, Paul.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, an issue you never want to talk about. Do you have a succession plan for your company? Well, most of us don't. Well, stay tuned, and we're going to tell you exactly the way to do it. This is AM 560, The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Dan G, taking a look at traffic, brought to you by Cabela's. Lakeshore Drive shut down for Bike the Drive. Expected to reopen no later than 11 this morning. As a result, on the Stevenson, you won't be able to exit on Lakeshore either. If you're exiting northbound Lakeshore on Stevenson, you'll have to go off at 18th for access to the museum campus. And southbound, you'll be forced off at 31st. If you need to get through the area, exit at Cermak or King Drive. The inbound Eden, smooth Lake Cook to Montrose at 19 minutes. Inbound Kennedy, no issues either. O'Hare to downtown, 20 minutes from Montrose, just 10. Thunderstorms possible today with a high of 71 and a low of 57. For tomorrow, mostly sunny and 75. It's partly cloudy and 60 now. Cabela's Memorial Day sale is going on now. Family events, amazing deals, your one stop before you get out of town. Get Cabela's Adult and Youth Deluxe Flotation Vest for $9.99. Stop in and save this week at Cabela's in Hammond and Hoffman Estates. That's traffic on AM 560, The Answer.
If you're an entrepreneur, small business owner, or interested in a side hustle, you got to listen to this. There's a first-of-its-kind conference coming to Detroit called Gateway 17. It's sponsored by Alibaba, a Chinese combination of Amazon, Google, and eBay. Gateway 17 is there to help you sell your products directly to 500 million Chinese consumers, or to source from millions of products on Alibaba to sell here in the U.S. It's a two-day event in Detroit, June 20th to 21st, and speakers are going to include the founder of Alibaba, billionaire Jack Ma. And I have an exclusive offer just for my listeners. Save 75% off the registration fee. That's only $125 to attend. But you can only get this deal if you go to the page Gateway17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. That's GATEWAY17.com and enter the code BITALK on the payment page. Remember, it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to get access to these Chinese consumers. I will see you there.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own own business, you will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@moltz.com. That's barry@moltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Moltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, there is an issue that most small business owners never, ever want to talk about. Someday, you're going to leave, retire, or die from your business. And most small companies aren't prepared for this eventuality. And the valuable asset they created can actually be threatened. Here to help is Joe Sprague. He's currently Vice President and Leader of Nationwide Business Solutions Group. The group is responsible for designing, creating, distributing, and servicing life insurance solutions that help businesses finance employee benefits. Joe, welcome to the show.
Barry, it's great to be with you.
So I know you do this nationwide small business study, and you found that, unfortunately, a lot of small business owners aren't prepared to hand off their business. Why is that?
Well, I think our experience, Barry, is that so many people, small business owners, are so involved in running the day-to-day business and working in their business that they're not really thinking about kind of working on their business and planning for some of the unfortunate things that you mentioned just a second ago. The alarming fact that we found in the survey was that 47% of the people we surveyed don't even think that they need a business succession plan. And that was alarming to us.
And to me, that's astounding. And maybe it's because we as small business owners, we don't want to believe in our own mortality, right? We have to have some pretty big egos,
right,
so we don't want to even think about it.
No, you're exactly right. And what we've found, because our group works with business owners all the time, just like you do, and what we find is it's difficult sometimes when you're putting in a 60, 70, or 80-hour week to do that extra planning, to take that moment to step back and consider what's going to happen to my family, what's going to happen to my key employees, what's going to happen to my customers if some kind of an emergency hits me. And business owners don't always think about that, and we think it's a tragic mistake.
So where do you start? And I guess most importantly, Joe, who do you start it with?
Mm-hmm. What we find is that most small business owners probably have a team, and that includes their accountant, and hopefully it includes their lawyer. They don't often have a financial advisor, and we consider those three together the power team. And so if they're working with an accountant or their CPA, that's the first place to start to bring a financial advisor into the conversation.
I really like that, Joe, because I think a lot of times small business owners are used to dealing with all these people separately, and sometimes they give conflicting mm-hmm. advice. And if you get everybody all in the same room, you're going to come up with a better plan.
Well, you're exactly right. And one of the fundamental keys to a business succession plan is the fact that it's a legal document, and so you have to have that attorney there. There might be tax implications potentially when something unforeseen happens. You want the accountant there, and then you want a qualified financial advisor there to help you put the right plan in place from a funding standpoint.
And Joe, the first thing you have to talk about is what do you really want to do with the asset that you created, right? I mean, do you want to get cash out of it? Do you want to pass it on to someone else? What kinds of things should you consider that really will have a long-term financial effect on what happens to the value of that asset?
Well, you know, you think about, and Barry, we deal with these kind of businesses all the time. So let's use a real-life example. Let's say that you and I own a business together, and we're actively working in that business. And if something unforeseen would happen to me, you're going to want to own that business free and clear, right, and not have to deal with perhaps my spouse or my snotty-nosed kids, right, who don't have the acumen or the interest to run the business. And so a business succession plan in that situation is absolutely critical. You don't want someone else coming in an ownership position, a partial ownership position in your business at some unforeseen time. And that to us kind of is the example we see on a regular basis, partners needing to plan together to take care of each other's families should something unforeseen happen.
And that's really important, Joe, because I think a lot of people don't understand that when they die, how it's going to impact, you know, your spouse, your children, your partners, and your employees. And what I try to write into when I work with small businesses is that, yes, if something happens to me, that my spouse or my heirs are going to have to sell my share of the business and talk about at what price they're going to sell. Think about this ahead of time, no matter how uncomfortable it is.
Well, yeah, you're spot on, Barry, and the best time to plan for a crisis or an emergency is before you have the crisis or emergency. And so one of the great things that that power team can do is to help that small business owner set a reasonable value for the business and then provide funding, whether it's a partnership or some other arrangement, provide that funding so that one can buy out the other or that business can pass in the appropriate way to whoever the survivors are. The families are going to be taken care of. The key employees are going to be taken care of. And, hey, let's not forget about the customer. Your customer, the reason you're in business, those customers will be taken care of because the business continues on in as smooth a way as possible.
Well, you know, with the minute we have left, I have to tell you that when I had my last business, we had exactly this, Keyman Life Insurance. And after my business was sold, I took on the Keyman Life Insurance. And it was a good thing, Joe, that I had that insurance, because soon after I got diabetes and was never able to get that kind of insurance again. So I was very fortunate. So I appreciate you being on the show. How can people reach Nationwide if they want to explore some of these solutions for succession in their business?
Yes, there are a couple of ways. The easiest way to reach Nationwide is to simply Google Nationwide Business Solutions Center.
Joe, thanks so much for your help. Coming up, how to take the risk and the fear out of franchising. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
What are you doing the 4th of July? Get to the Bolingbrook Golf Club Tuesday, July 4th, starting at 2 p.m. There's fun for the entire family and free admission. Check out live music and great food. Plenty of kids' activities and inflatables. Choose from over a dozen local restaurants and food trucks. Then the highlight of the 4th of July, a 30-minute fireworks show presented by the Village of Bolingbrook. Don't miss the 4th of July blowout at the Bolingbrook Golf Club. More info at bolingbrookgolfclub.com. Sponsored by COTG, Pepsi, Southern Glacier, and Miller Lite.
For the last decade, it's been called the greatest libertarian show on earth. This year will be no different. Attended by the most brilliant conservative minds today, join us for Freedom Fest, July 19th through the 22nd at the Planet Hollywood in Las Vegas. This year, come hear the likes of Greg Gutfeld from Fox News, actor William Shatner, and SRN's very own Larry Elder and Michael Medved. Register now at freedomfest.com and save $100 by using the code REASON100 at freedomfest.com.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Moltz.
Well, franchising is a great alternative to starting your own business, but there's a lot of fear around this. What's the best way to protect yourself and overcome these fears? Here to help is Dr. John Hayes. He's a franchise educator and author and a former franchisee on numerous occasions, as well as the former president and CEO of Home Investors of America, the We Buy Ugly House franchise. Dr. Hayes currently serves at a private university in Kuwait, but in August he became the Titus Chair for Franchise Leadership at Palm Beach Atlantic University in West Palm Beach, Florida. Dr. Hayes is the author of 24 books, most of them about franchising. His latest book is called Take the Fear Out of Franchising. Dr. Hayes, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barry. It's a pleasure to be talking to you.
So people have a lot of fear about franchising, but there are some reasons to be afraid, right? It's not a get-rich-quick scheme.
No, absolutely not get-rich-quick. And people should be fearful because there are many franchises that are not good opportunities, even though they don't want you to know that. And people get themselves into franchises they should never buy. And that's unfortunate.
So how do you decide whether you should get into this franchise or not and whether it's a good franchise for you? Because to me, those are two decisions.
Yes. And the first step is find out, are you a good fit to be a franchisee? Psychologically, personality-wise, emotionally, do you fit? And not everybody does. And then if you do fit, if you're a good fit for franchising, then what kind of franchise? Should it be a retail or should it be work at home, a service business, a food business? People tend to buy what their neighbor down the street bought and succeeded with, not realizing that they're not their neighbor and they're not going to succeed the way their neighbor did because of these personality differences.
It's funny, Dr. Hayes, because one of my friends, you know, opened up a food franchise. And I said, well, you know, Terry, why'd you open a food franchise? And he said, well, I like to eat food and I like eating in restaurants. To me, that's not a good reason. How do you figure out yourself what's best for you?
Exactly. You've got to figure this out. It's not difficult. In fact, in the book, I provide a free personality profile for people. They can go fill it out. It takes about 10 minutes. And it will then tell you whether or not you're a good fit. And that's the first step. But very few franchisors will tell you that. They don't want necessarily to know about your personality at the early stage. They want to know if you've got the money to invest.
Right. That's the problem, Dr. Hayes. I think that people basically sort themselves out in franchises, not whether it be a good fit for you, but whether can I afford to start this franchise?
Yeah, and that's not a good way to make the decision. And that's why there are a lot of disgruntled people as franchisees. They're unhappy about their decision, and they want to blame somebody. And, you know, blame probably isn't the thing to worry about at that point. You're failing or you're not happy in the franchise. You might be a good fit for franchising, and in that case, you're in the wrong franchise. There are 4,000 different franchise opportunities in North America. It's not easy to make a good decision in this matter.
Well, Dr. Hayes, I appreciate you being on the show. I want to say that I've met a lot of happy franchise owners. So there are really happy people out there that can make a lot of money. If you want to reach Dr. Hayes, go to www.howtobuyafranchise.com. Dr. Hayes, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for joining us on this week's radio show. Of course, I want to thank our sponsors, Nextiva and Alibaba. I also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffern, our in-studios producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. Remember, if you are serious about being successful this year, 2017, you got to give me a call. And I've set up a private line for this. It's 773-837-8250. Or you can email me at barry@moltz.com. Isn't this the year that you finally get your business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you finally move your business forward? Isn't this the year that you finally make the money you deserve? Remember, love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. Have a profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymoltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio. If you're